11th Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time, Reading 1. The Book of Ezra, 17:22-24. Thus says the Lord God, I too will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches tear off a tender shoot and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. Reading 2, Second Book of Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10. Brothers and sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are courageous, and we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord. Therefore, we aspire to please Him, whether we are at home or away, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense according to what he did in the body, whether good or evil. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and would sleep and rise day and night, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how, of its own accord, the land yields fruit. First the blade, then the ear, than the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he yields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. Theme: God's sovereign power over all human activities. In life, there are many things which exceed human understanding. For example, we can't explain the mystery of life or faith because these come from God, not man. Another clear example is the establishment of the Catholic Church. Christ established the Church from the 12 apostles, and the Church continually exists and develops more than 2,000 years, even though she said she had to face countless persecution from outside and many divisions from inside through the course of the history. Today's readings want to emphasize God, the main agent of the history of salvation. Human beings are only his instruments in this plan. In the first reading, God is the one who took the crest of the cedar from its topmost branches and planted it on a high and lofty mountain. It shall become a majestic cedar, so that birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. In the second reading, St. Paul emphasized the role of faith in human life. If the faithful let their lamp of faith guide their life, they shall overcome all obstacles and live a life that pleases God. In the gospel, Jesus compared God's kingdom as the seed which is sowed on earth. No matter if the farmer knows or not, the seed continually grows, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come. Jesus also compared God's kingdom as a mustard seed. Though it is the smallest seed, but it has the potential to be a big tree, so birds of the air can make their nests in its shadow. Analysis. Reading 1. God is the main agent in searching for, planting, and empowering the crest of the cedar. It shall put forth branches, bear fruit, and become a majestic cedar. All prophets, especially Isaiah and Ezekiel, emphasized God's sovereign power in creation, providence, and salvation. People have a small role, which is to cooperate with God to bring salvation for themselves and to preach God's salvation to others. The image of the crest of the cedar, which God chose and planted, can be compared to the image of Isaiah's image of a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. This crest of cedar is mainly Christ and secondarily the church, which Christ established. According to Ezekiel, Christ, the Messiah, shall become a majestic cedar and replace all kings of David's line to govern not only Israel, but also all nations of the earth, of the world. This can be seen in his description. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. In the plan of salvation, God is the one who plans, executes, and brings it to perfection. Human beings have only a secondary role in it. Once he executes his plan, no power nor government can prevent. God has sovereign power to choose to make growth and to destroy, to make grow and to destroy. All the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. People from all generations must recognize and obey God's sovereign power. When one reads the prophetic books, one can see one thing which all prophets kept repeating, the sentence after God's oracles, "As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do." The scripture certified the fulfillment of these oracles and God's fidelity to his promises. For example, his promise to give Abraham descendants and the promised land, his promise to give humankind the Messiah, and his promise to establish a new covenant, etc. Reading 2. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The role of faith in the believer's life. According to Paul, there are two periods of our life on earth and in heaven. According to Paul, there are two periods of our life on earth and in heaven. In our life on earth, we can't see God, but we courageously go forth because of our faith in God's promises. Many authors have compared faith as the light tower which guides the ship of our life in dark nights. In the past, we had countless witnesses of faith, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and all the saints. They courageously went forth because they firmly believed in God's promises, not because they saw God and the rewards. They believed because they learned through the course of history that God always does what he promises. Many people declared that they only believe in what they can see. This is absurd because many times in their lives they believed when they didn't see the results. For example, they believed their parents, teachers, religious and civic leaders, when they didn't see results of these people's promises. If they can put their faith in human beings and do what they promise, why don't they put their faith in a powerful God who can make things from nothing to exist, and nothing is impossible to him. Nothing is impossible for him. Paul's understanding of the next life is similar to the belief of Vietnamese adage, "This life is temporary, the next life is forever." As long as we live in a body, we are far away from God. When we are no longer in a body, we shall see God as he is. How can we know this is true? We must believe in God's revelation and our intellectual reason. The revelation of resurrection and eternal life were confirmed by Christ in the New Testament. We also find the belief in eternal life through the Greek philosophers. Each one may receive recompense according to what he did in the body, whether good or evil. To believe and to do God's will in this present life are our obligation. It's not an option, because God shall judge and reward us according to what we did in the body, whether good or evil. If we make an effort to find out God's will and do it, he shall resurrect and grant us eternal and a happy life with him. If we have only lived according to our will, we shall not please God. We must pay dearly a dear price for our life. We shall not live a happy life with God and be destroyed forever. Gospel. Human beings can't fathom all God's works. In Mark's passage today, God's kingdom was described through two parables. Jesus' intention was to let his audience know, first, the growth of God's kingdom is mainly by God. Human beings only have a secondary role. Second, though God's kingdom began as a small one, it has the potential to be a big one and spread throughout the world. God's kingdom is as a seed, which already has the potential of life. Jesus said, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields a sickle at once, for the harvest has come." Jesus wanted to emphasize three things in this parable. 1. Man isn't the author of life. Life comes from God and is given to all creatures. In God's creation, a seed has potential of life in itself. Human beings can't cause life, but can help it to grow by caring for it. Similarly, God's kingdom comes from God and already has the potential to grow. Human beings didn't cause God's kingdom, but can help God's kingdom to come, but can make God's kingdom to come. God's kingdom. Its growth can't be understood. Human beings can see the development of a seed, but can't explain its growth. Similarly, they can witness the development of God's kingdom through the growth of the church, but can't explain the growth. Its growth is gradually developing, not like human advancing, in which it sometimes grows, other times it decreases. The growth of a seed and God's kingdom are gradual and unceasing. 3. The harvest shall come. When people sowed, they expected the harvest shall come. When people sow, they expect the harvest will come. Similarly, when God began to build up his kingdom, he shall bring it to fulfillment. Human beings need to be patient and to carefully prepare for the day to come. Faith is compared as a seed which is sowed in the human mind. It comes from God, not from human beings. But people can cooperate with God in developing their faith. It has the potential to grow big and helps them to firmly believe in God, even though they have to face many hardships and sufferings in their life. The potential of life doesn't depend on an outside appearance. A mustard seed is the smallest seed of all seeds, but it has the potential to be a big tree. A Palestinian mustard seed can grow to be a big tree, not as a vegetable as our seed. It's not a vegetable as our seed. At Jesus' time, all worldly empires were compared as the tree and all of its vessels as branches. Jesus' intention through this parable is that God's kingdom had begun with 12 apostles, but it has the potential to become a big nation with which all people of the world shall come and dwell in it. At present, the church has grown to more than 1 billion, and more than half of the worldly population believe in God. Application in life. Faith is the most precious gift which God bestows on human souls. We must dearly hold, develop, and protect our faith. We live this life because we have faith and hope in Christ. If we don't put our faith in Christ and do what he teaches us, we shall have no hope to attain the eternal life. Faith has the potential to grow and to do things that exceed human power. When we can't achieve what God requires of us, our faith is weak. We need to ask God to strengthen our weak faith. We have a duty to help God's kingdom to grow by the preaching of the good news.